Well, I want to start in Romans chapter 7 today. We're going to continue on talking about mortification and understanding it. See if my actors are here today. I got Daniel and David. You might as well come and sit on the front row. Get yourselves ready. We're starting Romans chapter 7. And we went through a lot of this, but we're going to just start in verse 25. It says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. So we know here in Romans 7, he's talking about an unborn again Jewish man. How many know what that's, agree with that? That we don't have to go through that again. This is the mindset of a man who's not saved. And, okay, Daniel, why don't you go up? And Matt, coming up. Matt's going to be our person today. Give him a big hand clap. And you don't need to clap for Daniel. Daniel is the sin nature. So. So here's Daniel, our sin nature. No, you're on this side. Yeah, and then lock arms, gentlemen. So this is how every person, every child, every baby that's born is born with a sin nature. It's not because they chose to be born sinners. It's because they brought their life came from the fruit of Adam. And Adam became a sinner when he sinned, and he passed down the nature of sin to every creature, every human born from his genes, which all of us, we can trace each of us back through Noah and to Adam. So here is the fruit of it. You are born with a nature of sin. And now, look at Matthias. Wave, Matt. This is Matthias. He's a good kid. Wants to do good. Wants to try to behave. But the problem is, he is attached to a nature of sin. So even the good he does really isn't good. Because you can't please God with a nature of sin. There's nothing you can do to please God if you're not born again. You can try giving all your money to the poor. You could go and rescue little babies. You can do any good work you want. You can beg him, worship him, offer him anything you want. But the first and most important thing he wants from you is to be born again. Amen? So this is what happens. He is trapped by this dark nature of sin we call Daniel. And if you're listening and you're not watching, then we have Matthias, who is our person, attached by the arm. They're linking arms. And Daniel is representing the nature of sin. Matthias is a slave to Daniel. No matter how hard he fights, no matter how hard he wants, Matthias is not in charge. And isn't it interesting? The world thinks they are in charge, but really their whole life they are in bondage to a nature of sin. They are trapped. There's no hope for them. The only hope came when Jesus came, and we read here out of Romans 7, how Jesus came, represented here by our good man David. He's got a six-pack abs. He's handsome. He's a perfect man. Jesus came and took the form of sin. Go ahead. And for by law, the law exposed that Matthias was attached to sin. That's what the law came for. To bring and show and prove, no matter how hard you want, no matter how bad you want it, no matter how much you say you love God, it's impossible for you to be free from this nature of sin. Except Jesus came. He became sin, and then he died with your nature. Go ahead and show us. And then Jesus was what? Resurrected from the dead. Go ahead, David, resurrected from the dead, and then became and allowed you to have a nature from Christ. So now you are locked into a nature of life. Say amen if you're still with me.
Amen.
Now, in God's definition, when you read Scripture, I want you to understand that God's definition of life and death is different than your definition of life and death. Our definition of life and death is breathing, not breathing. Our definition of life and death is if you take that broccoli stalk and you that's alive, and then you cut it to eat it, you killed it. It's now dead. You killed the broccoli stalk. See, life and death. That's the human definition of life and death. But in God's definition, see, every person born, do you know, every person born never dies in God's eyes. Their body may fall off of them, but they exist forever. Every human born lives forever.
Amen.
They live forever for eternity. Every person that came from Adam is still alive today. Adam's still alive today, but where you... The difference is where you live after you shed this body. Amen? You're either going to live eternity with God in heaven, or you live eternity away from God in hell. So God's definition of life and death is not breathing and not breathing. God's definition of life and death is life being with God, death being away from God. Life being light, death being darkness. Does that make sense? Okay. I'm teaching slowly, so I want to make sure you're still with me. So in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, let's take trade places, natures, if you don't mind. I won't keep you here all service this time, I promise. So in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now, just for reference, the word flesh here, say flesh. In most cases, the word flesh is not talking about the body. The word flesh is talking about the nature of darkness. This Daniel, we call him, standing here trapped, trapping Matthias. Matthias has no hope for heaven. Right now, he's on a road to hell. If Matthias never finds Christ, thank God for evangelists, thank God for preachers, thank God for any church that teaches that Jesus is the only way to heaven. Because that one message comes from a preacher is what's going to help Matthias, who is linked to Daniel right now. Daniel is the old nature. He is going to hell. There's no hope for him. He is going to hell. He's going to live his whole life, and maybe never, some people never realize it. And when he dies, guess what? That nature is going to take him to his father. This nature came to existence from his father, the devil. It started, you can trace it back from generation to generation, all the way through Adam, all the way to heaven where darkness was found, iniquity was found, in the heart of Lucifer. That's where darkness, the dark nature started, in Lucifer. And it was passed down the Adam, which made it mean it was passed down to every person born from Adam. So the entire human race is on a road to hell because they are condemned to hell because of what? This nature, this link that holds Matthias to that nature. But Jesus came and set us free. Jesus came and allowed us the opportunity to choose life over death, to choose to be born again. We're born the first time of our earthly parents, and they're the ones who pass this nature down. But then the second time when we're born again, we die. So our nature, this nature dies, and we receive the nature of Christ. Come on in, David. David now is standing and representing the nature of Christ. Not Jesus, but his nature that was given to you the moment you accepted Christ. Now, you're no longer condemned. Say amen.
Amen.
Condemned here is not the feeling of sadness. You know, traditionally we're taught, you know, if you repent of your sin, you know, say you're sorry, God, forgive me, and you still feel guilty, that's condemnation. And there's no condemnation. But, you know, how many know that's not necessarily a bad feeling, to feel bad that you failed your nature? Because a nature is who you are. It tells you this new nature that he has oozes life. It oozes holiness and goodness. It oozes love, real love, not worldly love that we sing about, but real love from heaven. It oozes it. It's from God. It's a piece of God that tells you who you are. So when we repent, we're saying, God, I'm sorry for going against my new nature. And I wrote this a few years ago, about 5 years ago. I rewrote the sinner's prayer. How many know the sinner's prayer that we should traditionally give is, Lord, forgive me for my sins. See, Lord, forgive me for I repent of my sins. But when you're living by your old nature of darkness, it's who you are. It's not a choice. It's not a choice to fight it. So I rewrote it because this is how the sinner's prayer, I believe, should read. Not forgive me for my sins in the sense of, I'm sorry I drank. I'm sorry I sinned in the past. That kind of repentance is for the Christian. That kind of repentance is when you go to God and say, I'm sorry I failed in my quest for holiness, because my nature allows me the right, because I'm no longer condemned to live my life in sin. See, that kind of repentance is for us Christians. But for someone who's about to be saved, they can't help but be sinners. You know, don't go tell a sinner you need to quit drinking. That's the worst message. You don't go preach a sinner holiness. That's not the message, because they can only go as far as their new nature or their old nature will allow them to. See, you go tell a sinner, you know, I got a way out for you from hell, and it's Jesus. That's the only message they need to hear. Then once they're born again, the Holy Ghost will begin to tell them, and the nature within them will begin to convict them. And you don't need to be the Holy Ghost for everybody. All right, so this is how I would lead someone to the Lord now. If you're not saved here, then maybe you should say this with me. And in fact, why don't you do it with me? So let's say you come to the altar, you're about to be saved. This is what I believe we should say. Okay, repeat this after me. Lord, I am so thankful that you've loved me. While I was still a sinner and separated from you. Today I come before you in all humility. I confess that I am powerless to earn my salvation. Jesus, I am grateful that you made my pathway possible. For your Father to become my Father. So right now, I am confessing with my mouth what I believe in my heart, that I'm being born again this moment, and am no longer condemned to a nature of darkness. I ask you now, God, to become my Father and to resurrect me from death into life. And from darkness into light. I thank you for receiving me right now as your child, and you will never put me to shame. From this moment forward, my past is no longer mine, and my future belongs to you. I give you my life. I confess that I am saved and set free from all sin. I thank you for being such a wonderful Father and expressing your unconditional love towards me. I am yours. Amen. Now you're all saved. Hallelujah. But see, the difference is he's free because the nature changed. He's free. He's no longer condemned. And so with this condemnation, what freed you from condemnation is that you're no longer held captive by the nature of darkness. And you're born again. So now, because you're born again, you're no longer at the mercy of your old nature of sin. All right, give our boys a big hand clap. Thank you, gentlemen. So in context in Romans 8, when we hear the word flesh, I don't want us to think of our body. I want us to think of the old nature. Think of Daniel, but we don't want to taint him too bad. Think of the old nature, and that's what he's talking about when he says the word flesh here, okay? The body of flesh, the old man, the source, the generator of all darkness, of all death. See, when God says death, he doesn't mean dead, laying on the floor dead, dark. Like, he means production of darkness, producer of death. See, because in God's eyes, there is no not breathing. When you're a human, you live forever. The only difference is when you die, whatever nature you have, when people go up to the pearly gates, as they say, and there they get to the pearly gates, and there's a St. Peter, whoever you want to be there, he's not looking for a stack of good works. All he's looking for is which family do you belong to? Because this heaven is it's exclusive. The only family members are allowed. You go to where your father is the moment you pass. And so if your father is a nature of darkness, then guess what? You don't get to go to heaven. But if your father is God, guess where you get to go? So when God speaks life and death, he's not referring to breathing, not breathing. He's referring to, are you light? Are you with him? Or are you with the enemy? Are you with darkness? Say amen if you're still with me. So for the law, verse 2, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus was made me free from the law of sin and death. For what law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh? God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh. Verse 4. That the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh but according to the Spirit. So here he's not talking about, in the word flesh here, having a bad day and I fleshed out. He's talking about those who walk according to the flesh, those who are not saved, who walk according to the nature of darkness, but according to the Spirit. How many here are born again? You are now walking in the Spirit. So this is not a day-to-day thing. Today I walk through the Spirit, and I hear the Spirit of God leading my steps. Yesterday I went to Krispy Kreme Donuts, and Gary was in line in front of me, and we were walking in the flesh, you know. No, it means born again or not born again. For those who live according to the flesh, those who are not saved, living according to the nature of darkness, set their minds on the things of that nature. But those who live according to the Spirit and are born again and have a nature of life, the things of the Spirit. So here it's very clear that if you're born again, God expects us. Let me preach it to you instead of to me. If you're born again, God expects you to live according to the nature of life that's in you. Because you no longer have the nature of darkness in you anymore. Now, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Again, he's still talking the difference between a new creature and an old creature. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor deen can be. It's impossible for an unsaved person, no matter how religious they want to be, to fulfill the law and the requirements of the law. Because the law of God expresses what is possible for a born-again Christian. What is possible for a Christian who has been brought out of death into life. But you are not in the flesh, so you're not of this world. You're not condemned to the nature of darkness anymore. But in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, if indeed that new nature dwells in you, now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he's not his. So if you're not born again, you can't be God's. It's impossible. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead. Now this is the first, this here, when it says body, this is talking about the body you're wearing. If Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. So the body is dead. This is what we call a positional truth. Because how many know your body's still moving? So when God says death, he's not talking about breathe in, breathe out. He's talking about darkness and light. So he refers here that your body is still death, even though you now have a nature of life inside of you. And if Christ is in you, so if Christ is in you, wave at me, you're born again. If you said the sinner's prayer earlier, you're born again. The body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit, the new nature, is what? Life because of righteousness. See, that new nature in you, it is not your spirit body. It is the core of who you are. It's called the nature. See, that nature inside of you, it's what tells you who you are. So if you have a dog and maybe you have a cat, how many cat people do we have here? I got to make sure because I pick on cats all the time, but I got to be careful. Oh, Sue has a cat. Now I really have to be careful. But see, their nature. Their nature tells them what to do. When a cat sees a mouse, what's it going to do? Unless you got a really dumb cat. It's going to try to kill that mouse and eat it. The worst thing you can do is, you know, bring your neighbor's five-year-old kid over and say, come on over to my house. Bring your pet hamster on over. And we'll let it play with my fluffy, sweet kitty cat. My little kitty cat's so sweet to me. It licks me once in a while and ignores me most of the time. But once in a while, it'll look at me and it'll let me pet it when it wants to be petted. When it wants to be scratched, it'll let me scratch it. And when it's hungry, it'll let me feed it. And a little fluffy, foo-foo kitty cat's got cute little whiskers and it's so cute. Bring your little fluffy hamster. You know, tell a little five-year-old neighbor, bring your little hamster over and meet my little fluffy. And your cute little fluffy that's so sweet to you all of a sudden will turn into a lion. And it will attack that little hamster in front of the five-year-old kid and look at it as it crunches on the hamster. And you're like, oh, no, Fluffy, what's wrong with you? You're so sweet. Why are you killing this hamster? Because Fluffy, I don't know if that's a good name for a cat, Fufu, has a nature that says, mouse, kill. See? And so it's in its nature. You had the same nature of darkness when you were born a child. But the day you got born again, you're resurrected with Christ and you receive the nature of life. The nature is the core of who you are. Now you have an inner body. Say inner body. And the inner body is a spiritual body. It's an outline that holds you together. And you're wearing this body. Now, they used to be joined together in perfect harmony. Perfect harmony. Your inner man and your outward man and your nature, your natural mind, your spiritual mind, you were all one in unity until the day you got born again. And now life started to ooze out of that nature and bring to life your spirit man. All of a sudden came to life, but the body, this outward body, this outward shell of earth, as Gary said today, it doesn't leave this planet. When you leave, it stays here. This outward body did not get saved. It did not get fixed, but it's the only thing allowing you to walk around on this planet. Say amen if you're still with me.
Amen.
All right. Verse 10. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead. See, he's making a difference now. First, it was the spirit and the old flesh, the spirit and the old nature, the spirit of life and the nature of life and the nature of darkness. Now, here, all of a sudden, verse 10, he's showing you the difference between your new nature and your body. The body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. Now, this is important. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead. I'm going to bring up my King James Version here. Verse 11. But if the spirit of him who raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken, say quicken, your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwells in you. Now this verse is really important because here it says, but if the spirit, so the new nature, say amen if you're still with me. I'm asking you because we're going deeper and deeper into the scripture or finer and finer here. So if I lose you at one place, no sense going to the next place. But if the new nature, if the spirit, if that born again nature of Christ, of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body. Quicken your mortal body. Now, what does that mean? See, I used to think that meant every day I can take the life of God and bring it into my mortal body. And there's some people that we call Kingdom Now people that believe that the process of God is not for us to go to heaven, not to get a new heaven or new earth, but for us to take over this world and to live forever as kings and priests in this world. We take over the governments and everything. But on this verse, it says, I'll read from the King James, but if the spirit of him, see that word quicken is similar to the word that quickeneth you to life, to death in your nature. So what does he mean, quicken your mortal body? See, mortal is an adjective. An adjective, I believe, my daughter who's going into second grade can tell me if I'm right or wrong here, is a descriptive word. You add an adjective in front of a word to give it descriptive. My mom is pretty. Thank you. That was, see, good move there. Adjective, pretty. Mom, okay? And so an adjective is a descriptive word. Well, here, in front of the word body, tap your body, okay, he puts an adjective to describe it, a nickname. You ever have someone who's really tall? And sometimes we reverse the nicknames, but, you know, like if you got a guy who's real tall, sometimes you call him short. If he's really short, you call him tall. Hey, tall, you know, whatever. And but an adjective is a description. It's a descriptive word to help you to see. So there's Christian over there. Well, who's Christian? Christian, he's over there. Who's Christian? The guy over there. Well, there's 20 guys over there. The guy over there with the blue shirt. That's an adjective to help you to define who he is. The guy over there with the dark hair. Ah, Christian. Okay, I see Christian over there. See, it's helping you to define. So here the word is mortal body. It's an adjective, mortal. There's an old movie I watched one time, and it was an old Western. So the guy's getting ready to go shoot. You know, he's about to have a shootout with the baddest. The other guy is really good. He's the bad guy, and he's a really good gunslinger, and he's killed lots of people. And so this young guy is about to go have a gunfight. And so all of a sudden, this tall, lanky guy comes out of the old hotel-looking building in the West. The ground is dirt. There's wagons going by and horses, and this guy comes out. He's got a dark suit. He's got a dark hat. He's got like black bags under his eyes. And he's really tall. He stands next to this young kid who's about to go to fight with the best, baddest gunslinger in the West. And he pulls out a measuring tape and begins to measure him. And he says, and the young guy says something like, "What are you doing? I don't need a suit." He says, "No, no, this isn't for your suit. This is for your casket." And see, that's a mortician, you know. And so when you think of your body, God wants you to look at your body, this body here, every natural part of your body, the natural brain, the natural emotions, the natural thoughts, ideology, the natural intellect. You may have heard this before. Well, God doesn't want us dumb. He wants us to use our intellect too. But you have to understand, you have a spiritual mind as well as a natural mind. But the natural thoughts, the natural processing of living in this world, when it hits your spiritual mind, it is rejected. Because your spiritual mind understands the things of God. Your natural mind understands the things of this world. And so when you have a problem, you will face it, and your natural brain will come up with solutions. That's your natural brain. When you have someone does you wrong and doesn't treat you right, you have a natural emotion that rises up. An emotion, it's chemical. It's chemical-based. It's from the natural soul. And so the adjective here is mortal. That God wants you to look at everything that comes from this natural body as mortal. Now, even though you look in the mirror, ladies, and you see a lot of, you see all your prettiness, and you put your makeup on, you say, I'm so pretty today. Every one of us, when we look in the natural mirror at our body, at everything this body comes up with, every emotion. See, Eve, when she was attracted to the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, she wasn't attracted to the evil part. It wasn't the devil tempting her with alcohol and drugs and every bad thing. It was the good part that she was tempted by. She was attracted to the good part of the evil tree, the knowledge of good and evil. She was attracted to the good part. This natural world has good and bad, but even the good part of this natural world in God's eyes is death. I don't know if you caught that or not, but so most Christianity today is living in the good part of this natural world. I remember standing there or sitting there in a service, and a girl got up, and we had worked with her for years, getting out of drugs, in and out, and she was in a good cycle. You know, sometimes when people have our time, they have good cycles and bad cycles. So she was in a good cycle of being out of drugs for a while, and she set up on church to testify. And I knew, like, okay, we just got you out of the place like 4 days ago, you know. But here she is testifying about how good God is. And she was dressed up pretty and looked good. And she's in church. And God spoke to me clear as day right there as I was sitting looking at her testify. And I was proud of her, by the way. But God spoke to me and said, "I did not tell you to conform into a Christian. I told you to be transformed." Transformed. And that's when I got it. So much of Christianity is trying to get this natural flesh, the natural part of you, to submit, to conform, to dress right, to act right. And our flesh will agree with that, to give God an offering of, "Look how good I've done." See, but transformation is so much different than conforming our flesh to act like a Christian. Transformation is going and living daily out of the old species of humanity and into a new species of Christianity. Living every day out of the spirit man that you really are. So what confused me about this verse is in verse 11, "But if the spirit of him," I'll read out of the King James, it sounds better. "But if the spirit of him that raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwell in you." How many will agree that he's talking about the new nature here? Yes. Okay, just so we're on the same page. "He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body. By his spirit that dwelleth in you. So by the nature in you, now that you're born again, your mortal body can be quickened. Now this is where I got confused, and partly because in the New King James it says, shall give life to your mortal body. But the word quickeneth is a much better description, because it is referring not to a day-to-day process. It's referring to a one-moment act. And to understand this one verse, say this with me, to understand Romans chapter 8, verse 11, I have to read all of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So to understand that one verse, you have to read all of chapter 15. Now, I'm not going to do that today. It's Memorial Day. So we're going to start in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 35. So for us to understand exactly what he means in that verse 11 of Romans 8, we're going to read 1 Corinthians 15, verse 35. But some will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Foolish one, what you sow is not made alive until it dies. And what you sow, you do not sow that body that shall be but mere grain, perhaps wheat or some other grain. Verse 38. But God gives it a body as he pleases, and to each seed its own body. All flesh is not the same flesh. So every seed has its own body. So how many know that if you plant a seed in the ground, that seed dies before it gives birth again? Now here he's talking about your natural mortal body. Because isn't it a shame that you have to fight the instincts and the thoughts and the desires of this dead, death-producing, death-thinking, mortal corpse that you're wearing right now? What a pain that every day you have to fight this sucker, that it fights you every step of the way. Wouldn't it be nice not to have a mortal body? Wouldn't it be nice to live in a world that wasn't mortal, a world that didn't produce death, a world there was no sadness, no sorrow, but only life? See, and this is the point. You're not going to live forever in this body. God has a new plan. His fixing of what Adam did goes all the way back to God's original plan to have a group of children that only face life. See, right now you got to face darkness. You got to face choices. You got to face starvation. If you don't work, you don't eat, you're going to starve. You got to face these things. In God's plan, we weren't supposed to be producers on this earth or workers or slaves to life. We are to be free and pick fruit from the tree and eat it. God's plan is a plan where you didn't have to fight death or darkness or meanness or get over it. When someone hurts your feelings, you got to get over it. You got to get over that stuff. If someone hurts your feelings, someone treats you bad, as a Christian, you're supposed to get over it. Wouldn't be nice to live in a world where there's nothing to get over. Even if I want to be mean to you, I can't. Even if I want to give you a jab, I can't. I can't do it. Why? Because we're in eternity. All that stuff is left behind on this planet. All flesh, verse 39, is not the same flesh. So here, the Apostle Paul, who wrote Romans, is trying to describe how we receive a new body, what eternity is going to be like. Eternity is not going to be you fighting with this flesh anymore. It'll be freedom. The same way your spirit was quickeneth, you're going to get a new body, just like Jesus did. Remember when he came out of the tomb? He said, don't touch me, I got to go to the Father. Remember when he walked through walls? Jesus was walking around with a new body. Remember, they couldn't find his body in the tomb? So the quickeneth, the same way your nature, your new nature was brought from death into life. See, Your body will be brought from death into life. That's not a day-to-day process that he's talking about here in Romans chapter 8, verse 11. He's given you hope that even the guy who's the worst of the worst, some good old boy, he's stuck on hate and drugs and anger, and he gets born again, and he's got 5 years left to live. And in those 5 years, he fights drugs, he fights anger, but he keeps repenting, he keeps coming to God, and he fights it. How many know the day he dies and goes to heaven, he's still going to heaven? Amen. And that guy who fought his mortal body, see, will one day receive a body that he will never have to fight that fight again. See, when some of you got anger issues, some of you got jealousy issues, some of you got envious issues, and I'm saying you because I'm preaching, and some of you got pride issues, and some of you got daddy issues and mommy issues, and some of you got provision issues and fear issues, and some of you got whatever. I want you to understand, that is your flesh. The source of those issues is your flesh. But there'll be a day, a day in eternity, where you'll get a new body and you still won't have those issues. Because that body will be quickeneth the same way your spirit was quickeneth. Say amen if you're still with me. Amen. So in Romans 8:11, he's not talking about a day-to-day process of bringing this mortal body to life. God does not want your natural brain to have input into your steps and your direction of any decision. He does not want us living out of a humanistic love that our flesh has to offer. He wants us to get to a place where we live out of the love that comes from our spirit. All flesh, verse 39, is not the same flesh. But there's one kind of flesh of man, another flesh of animals, another flesh of fish, and another flesh of birds. And since Memorial Day, you'll understand this very well. That here in about an hour or so, there'll be a lot of flesh of fish and birds and cows that will be devoured by all you who are fasting. I know. But it says here there's different fleshes. He's trying to tell you there's a difference. A bird has feathers. A fish has scales. So he's saying, just look at the different kinds of flesh you see around you. There's different flesh. Men have skin. The flesh of a cow has a hide. The flesh of a fish has scales. The flesh of a bird has feathers. They're all flesh, but they're different. It's still flesh, but it's different. Do you understand that so far? Then he says, there's also celestial bodies and terrestrial bodies. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. Now, this is celestial meaning heavenly. Terrestrial is terrain, same root word, terrain, earthly. So he's saying, just like you look at a bird, you say, that's a bird. That's a bird flesh. It has different flesh than a fish. If you want to eat a bird, you have to pluck the bird first. And my dad is a hunter. We have plucked many duck and many pheasants and many geese. And we've had to pluck them before we eat them. And he taught me how to fish. If you're a fisherman, you know that you don't just eat a fish. You have to scale it first. See, you have to take that knife or a spoon and you have to run it across the scales. And then you take the scale off before you can eat the meat. Otherwise, you're not going to like it. So the flesh of a fish is different than the flesh of a bird. And the Apostle Paul is simply saying, how are we resurrected? Well, there's another flesh. It's not spirit. See, we can get so spiritual in our thinking that we're going to float around heaven. You know, when you first started, all you heard was about heaven. We get to go to heaven. You think, yay, I go to heaven. We just float around and a little wisp of wind and you see me go, hey, and I'm floating around heaven. You know, that's what I thought when I first started. But as I've learned, eternity is very natural. The spiritual realm is very, very practical. See, so he says there's also a celestial body and a terrestrial body. Right now you have a terrestrial body, a body made of earth. You understand how your body, think about your body. Okay, you're hungry, you eat something, you eat a Big Mac, a hamburger, you eat pizza, you take a cow that ate the grass, and you eat the cow, and now somehow what you eat, your body digests it, breaks it down, your body's amazing, breaks it down, takes the nutrients out, and builds bones, skin, it builds hair, or whatever. Your body builds itself from this earth. Everything you see has come from this planet, from the terrestrial. Every chair, every camera, everything, every car, every phone, everything on top of this earth has come from this planet. We built it, including this body, has come from earth. Are you still with me? That is a terrestrial body, but that's not the body you're stuck with for eternity. Because we receive a new body. In a moment, you're going to receive a new body. Now, those who are in heaven right now are not in this body. They're with an inward man, but it's not a body. They have an inward man. Now, there are, verse 40, there are celestial bodies, there's terrestrial bodies. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. Then he goes on, there's one glory of the sun, another of the moon, another glory of the stars. For one star differs from the other star in glory. So also in the resurrection of the dead, the body is sown in corruption, it's raised in incorruption. The body is sown in corruption. So this body you have now, this body, this mortal body, that's the nickname God gave your body, mortal. Do you ever have a bad nickname when you're a kid? You know, like maybe you're in grade 5 and they called you Four Eyes, or they called you Chubby, or they called you Skinny, or they called you whatever. Think of the worst nickname possible, and God looks at your body, not at you, looks at your body and says, hey, mortal, hey, ugly, hey, deaf. That's the nickname God's given your body. Every thought, every opinion that you say, God, I got an idea. I was thinking about my problem, and I have a solution that will fix it tomorrow. And God looks at your mortal thought and says, that's the dumbest thought I've ever heard of. And in the world, they'll think, brilliant! That answers the problem. Do you understand? The mortal mind has built spaceships, put man on moon. The mortal man has built incredible things. But it is nothing compared to the spiritual mind, the things that God wants to navigate us through. God wants us to navigate through life using the mind of the Spirit, the thoughts that He gives our mind of our spirit, not the thoughts of our flesh. I'm preaching good. So then he goes, verse 41, still comparing the two. See, he's not trying to make you think celestial. Ooh, celestial bodies. There's a heaven going to open up and we're going to float around in celestial body. He's not trying to make this spiritual. He's trying to make it practical. There is a body made of celestial material that is waiting for you. Right now you're wearing a body made of terrestrial material. If you don't believe it, don't eat. Don't eat for 2 months, 3 months. Well, you won't make it to 4 months. Why? Because your body needs something from this earth. You can't eat dirt. You got to take a seed. The plant takes the nutrients out of the dirt and breaks it down into something you can eat. That's amazing. But your body will, it's like you get a pregnant woman and all of a sudden, you ever hear that? The pregnant woman starts wanting to eat dirt. Did you ever hear that before? It's like, you wonder if your wife's going a little crazy. But it's her body crying out for minerals, and I need minerals. So then he goes on to still describe in a practical way. Verse 41, there's one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, Another glory of the stars, for one star differs from another star in its glory. If you go to the planet Jupiter, you'll find out it's made differently than the planet Mars. And if you go to the sun, you'll find out it's different than the moon. They're all planets, or whatever you want to call them, but they are different. Just like a fish is still a flesh, but it's different than a fowl. Its skin is different. It's still flesh, but one has feathers, one has scales. And then he goes on, is sown in dishonor. We'll start in verse 42. So also is the resurrection. The body is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. Man, God is just picking on your body right now. God, what do you call this good-looking body that I wear? And all my good-looking thoughts and all my smart ideas, my brilliance of providing for myself. My brilliance. You understand? You know why the moment you start praying in tongues, all of a sudden he goes after your finances? Because he doesn't want your mortal body to be your provider. He wants to lead you into provision. And it makes no sense to the world. But to him, it makes perfect sense. So you come up to God with a plate of ideas and thoughts and emotions. And here's what he's going to nickname them. Incorruption. Dishonor. Natural. He has no love for the mortal body. So that's why you're allowed to say, I am not jealous. I fight jealousy. Because the seed of jealousy lies within your mortal emotions. See, big difference. I am not envious. I am not my struggles. They are my struggles to win, but that's not who I am. All right, verse 42, we'll start there. So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. They're two different bodies. They're still bodies. Say bodies. One is nicknamed a mortal, ugly, death, dark. One is nicknamed life, light. One is nicknamed dishonor, natural. One is nicknamed spiritual and honorable. See, two different things, two different bodies. One is named weakness. One is named power. This is something we don't have right now. This is a body we are waiting for, groaning for, wanting. And because it says spiritual, don't think of a spiritual, think of spiritual material, a different material than the flesh. It does not take from the earth to build itself. It takes from spiritual material to build itself. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural. And afterward, the spiritual. See that? The spiritual is not first. So anyone who says they are more spiritual than you, you can just say, not yet. We're both spiritual. We're born again. That's another message. However, the spiritual is not first the natural, and afterward the spiritual. The first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven, and he was the man of dust. As was the man of dust, the first man, verse 47, was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. Say, that's me. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. Say, that's me. And as is the heavenly man, also are those who are heavenly. Say, that's me. See, you were of dust, but you are also of heaven, because you were born again. And as we are born the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. We shall also, say shall, also bear the image of the heavenly man. See, right now, Jesus is in heaven. Remember how it says he was tempted in every way? Remember that? You remember that scripture? Jesus was tempted in every way? Guess what? He's not tempted right now. Why? Because the body he has now, the one he was resurrected in, is not produce temptation. But on this earth, he had a body. So when you get to heaven, you're going to look like him. Because not only will you have his nature, you'll also have the body that's made of heaven. I don't want to need to repeat that. Well, not when you get to heaven. When we get into the new heaven and new earth, when everything is finished. We still have 1,000 years to go of reigning and all of that. But here, verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall all, not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. See, that last trumpet is when all the body of Christ, for the corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when the corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. So let's go back to Romans chapter 8. So at the sound of a trumpet, when it's all finished. See, God's not finished yet in redeeming the earth. He's not done yet. There's still a trumpet to be sound. And when that trumpet sounds, whether you're in heaven or if you're on this earth, in that moment, in a twinkling of an eye, blink as fast as you can, boom, you'll have a new body. And this old body, it doesn't come from this old flesh. It comes from our spirit. Now watch, because it tells us in Romans chapter 8, verse 11. But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised... Well, sorry, I've got to read out the King James. But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body through the Spirit that dwells in you. Now, read on. Therefore. Therefore, because I know I am getting a new body. Therefore, because in eternity I'll walk around and I'll pick up fruit and I'll eat it. In fact, it tells us in Revelations we'll eat of the tree of life. We'll eat. We'll hug. We'll talk. We'll hold hands. We'll celebrate together. In eternity, we will have a body that is made of a material that's different than the body we have now. Because I know that's coming. Because I now know this body is no longer mine. It is no longer me. It is no longer from God. It is a body that God nicknamed mortal, death, dark, ugly. This body is old. It's corruptible. This body, this natural body, God's nicknamed it all kinds of mean things. Therefore, brethren, because of that, because I have a new nature in me and I will receive a new body in a moment. This is not talking about a day-to-day transformation of your natural body into pretending to be Christ-like. The process is called mortification, putting to death, making it bow its knee to the death that it already is. Because I know this body will be dead and fall off me one day, and I'll receive a new body, my job is not to train it to behave right, to not negotiate with it. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh. Now, this word flesh here does not mean body, but to the old nature. Why are we not debtor to the old nature? Because we no longer have an old nature. I remember asking a bunch of preachers one time, I said, why is it that Christians like to sin? And every one of the preachers answered, well, it's human nature. The problem is you don't have a human nature in you anymore. So it's not, you're no longer human. When you go to work tomorrow or on Tuesday, just say, I have an announcement, or get your family at your barbecue tomorrow. Say, I have an announcement to make, just so you're all clear. You are really not my family anymore. I am no longer of this planet. I'm not human. I am from another planet. I belong to another family. Just tell them that. Say, don't call me human anymore. That's a horrible nickname. That goes along with mortal. That goes along with darkness. That goes along. See, even the good of a human is still darkness to God. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. You're no longer a debtor to live according to that old nature. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. If you live according to that old nature, you would die. There's no hope to go to heaven. But if by the Spirit, say by the new nature, you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. See the process here, the celebration here, the expectation here from God is now I give you a new nature. I will give you a new body in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. But until then, your job is to put to death the deeds of the body. Make it bow its knee to who you really are. That body you're wearing is no longer who you are. It's not who you are anymore, but you have authority over it, over its deeds. Make it submit to who you really are. Amen? Amen. We're born again, we're going to heaven, but one day we'll live on a new earth and we'll have a new body. Yes. And there'll be no fighting with it, there'll be no temptation with it, no testings or trials with it. And that's eternity. That's the hope. No sickness, disease. That's where we're going. Yeah. But we don't have to wait until we get that new body to live like we have it. That's the process. Now, you may argue with yourself and think you're a failure because your process has taken too long. It's not taking too long. It's a lifelong fight with the flesh. The problem is you're comparing yourself to American Christianity, which has stopped fighting with the flesh and introduced the flesh into the temple and said, this is us serving God. And when we get to heaven, God's going to look at all the good things we did in our flesh and he'll say, well, that's a nice pile of garbage you got right there. Put that in the mortal pile, please. But God, I fed the poor. I raised money and gave it to the poor. But God, I did all these things in your name. He said, yeah, we got a pile for that. It's called mortal pile, dishonorable pile. It's called corruptible pile. Put that in that pile. Because what you do for God that does not come from the spiritual man is still flesh. Even if it has the name good, a good pile of dog poo is still poo. Maybe we'll title that this message. Because that's what Paul said. I called it all dung. It's all garbage. We are on a path that is unique. And it's not just us. There's many people around the world seeking a walk with God that's from the Spirit. A walk and a life of birth from the Spirit and from the spiritual man that is contrary to the natural man. And if you're finding yourself under persecution, under tribulation, it's because we are having to go to a place that has been disappeared. Gary said it this way the other day. He said that it was only 116 years ago that, I believe it was Charles Parham, opened up his church, opened up a little Bible school, and some of his students got baptized in the Holy Ghost. But up till then, do you know that the speaking in tongues had disappeared from the church overall for maybe 1,000 years? So here we are having to fight back all that religion and the devil has taken and made the church a powerless building full of people that do good works from the flesh. And we look at that and think that is being a successful Christian. We're 116 years on this side of allowing the Holy Ghost to teach us who God really is and who you really are. And no matter how good your flesh is, how smart it is, how disciplined it is, it's still flesh. Everything from it, God will look at it and go, mortal. He has bad nicknames for your flesh, not even nice. You know, like you're nice to mean people just to be nice. You go to the grocery store and someone cuts in front of you and you go, all right, Pastor Dave said I love you, go ahead. You know, well, when your flesh jumps in front of your spirit man, in front of God, God isn't nice. He doesn't go, okay, go ahead. He goes, hey, stupid. Back of the line. Ugly, dumb, dead. Get out of here. You're stupid, garbage, trash. That's all the nicknames God has for our flesh because he's not interested in the wisdom of our flesh. Amen?
Amen.
Say this, I'm a child of God. I have a new nature. I am light. I am life. Because that's who I am. I'm born life. I'm born light. I'm born righteousness. And in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, God will quicken this mortal flesh. And I'll get a new body for eternity. But until then, I will fight this ugly body and make it bow its knee to who God says I am. Amen. We love you. God bless you. You're so wonderful as a church. And if you like prayer, please come to the green line and you are released. God bless you.